that salvation and the reason that we share the good news should be more about the kingdom that we are saved to rather than as a scare or guilt tactic about all of the dangers of if we don't accept God. Because from my perspective, we want people to know and experience the love of the Father, not be afraid of him. Because fear doesn't build relationship. It actually just builds more fear. But the gospel is good news. It is closeness to the Father and it is perfect love. For me, the core of the gospel can be summed up in these two verses. Mark 1:15, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe the good news. And Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The gospel is good news. It is very good news. Now, yes, we still need to help people understand the bad news in order to realize the real great depth of this good news. And that's why when we share the gospel, we do need to share both halves. But if we overemphasize the bad news, then we risk creating, and I fear may very well have already created, generations of people who believe in Jesus but haven't really been changed by the impact that that should have on their life. Because it is absolutely possible to come to a logical conclusion that Jesus is the Savior of the world and therefore I need to repent in my heart in order to receive the kingdom of God, but never fully live into the beautiful life and transformation that is open to people and accepting that good news. And so the second reason that I have struggled with some of the ways that we've traditionally shared the gospel or taught people to share the gospel is that they don't take into account the person that we're sharing the gospel with. It becomes more of a monologue than a conversation. And so let's walk through this story together and the way that Jesus is present to the Samaritan woman at the well. All right, so there's a bunch of setting the scene verses right at the start. And then a Samaritan woman comes to draw water. And Jesus says to her, will you give me a drink? See, in brackets, his disciples had gone into town to get food. One of the things that I most love about every story that we see of Jesus and everything he does is that there is always a reason for everything that he does. Did he know that this woman specifically was coming to the well? Maybe, maybe not. But he did know that there was a reason why he needed to send his disciples into town for food and sit down at the well himself. And so the Samaritan woman says to him, we'll come back to that in a minute. You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. I think it's often really easy for us, and the video explained it for us a little bit, and I mean a lot of us have been in churches for long enough to understand the real depth of this, but I think because we have so many organisations and we use the phrase the Good Samaritan so much in our modern day language, it has almost lost the absolute scandal of the relationship between Jews and Samaritans. I'm not going to use a modern day example because no matter what I say, I will probably say the wrong thing because I've not had enough sleep and it's just not worth going into. But this is two groups of people who had zero love for one another. They did not communicate. And Jesus' answer to her is, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And so she responds in the way that we all would. You don't have anything to draw water with. And the well is very deep. How on earth are you going to get this water? And Jesus, looking at her, a woman who has come to the well by herself in the middle of the day, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. But the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. What a beautiful picture of the way that God works in us. So she comes back to him, "Sir, give me this water. And then I don't have to come back here anymore." And Jesus says to her, "Go and bring your husband and come back and you can take it together." And then he tells her she's got no husband, but she's had five. And she rightly recognizes that Jesus is a prophet. But then she associates it immediately to worshipping God. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. And Jesus says, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. And she says, I know that the Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he will explain all these things that you've been explaining to me to us. And Jesus says, I, the one speaking to you, am he. One of the things that I most love about this interaction between Jesus and the woman is that so much of the dialogue that we have between Jesus and other people within the scriptures, almost every answer he gives is another question. But here, to a female Samaritan who is, for some reason, not currently within the mains of her community, she's been outcast in some way. So she's an outcast of an outcast. He answers her questions with the honest truth of who he is. So many times when Jesus is speaking to those in Israel, he tells them, don't tell anyone who I am yet. And here, to this outcasted woman, he says, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. How many times have we assumed that the person that is sitting or standing in front of us won't receive the good news that we have to share with them? How many times have we heard something that felt like a small prompt in our spirit to say hello to someone or to speak to that person at the table next to us at work or to just mention this thing that happened on the weekend to do with church, or we've shut down things about who we are in our faith, in our lives, because we were scared or because we didn't think that person was ready to hear it? Well, friends, when we share the gospel with others, there are three things that I want us to be encouraged to do from this passage in our approach. And so the first one of those is to listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. If you are a follower of Jesus, then you have the Holy Spirit within you. And the Holy Spirit prompts each of us in different ways. For some of us, it's a little bit of a nudge. For some of us, it's literal words. For some of us, it's a Bible verse. For some of us, it's pictures. There have been many times in my life where I've just felt weird senses to do things. One of them led me to a random Catholic church in the back streets of Kew East that you wouldn't know was there unless you knew it was there, and God gave me a word for something here. I don't know why I needed to drive past this random Catholic church in Kew East in order to receive that word. But part of it is about obedience and being able to listen to the prompts of the Spirit and take them on. And when we do that, God gives us more. And so I want to encourage you to be listening to the prompt of the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your mind. Is there someone that you relate to? Recently, I spend a lot of time at the Oval at the end of our street because it's a off-leash dog park. And I'm known as Pastor Liz because there's another Liz, and she obviously is not a pastor, and so they just decided that I was Pastor Liz. Anyway, I was talking to one of the women who I speak to regularly, but it was just the two of us, and it's not normally just the two of us. Normally, we're at about 4:30 in the afternoon. There's about 10 people that are all there with their dogs at the same time, and it's its own little community. Anyway, it was just me and her, and she started asking me about the church. And she said to me, she goes, oh, yeah, you know, I believe in God and I have a faith. And I found churches to be far too judgmental, though. So I listen to a lot of podcasts and I pray and I do all those kinds of things. And somehow, I can't even remember where in the midst of that conversation. But normally when people start asking me less practical conversations about the church at the end of a work day, I'm fairly quick to just kind of go, oh, yes, I don't really want to talk about that stuff now because I just need a break. But as I was talking to her, there's just this sense that I needed to follow this conversation. Now, she then mentioned a couple of the preachers that she listens to regularly, and I had to be like, control your face, control your face, control your face, control your face. But then I had this opportunity to just pray for her in the midst of walking around the Oval with her about helping God to work in her life. And as I walked home, I reflected and prayed about the fact that the thing that she'd said to me in the start of that conversation was, oh, I just gave up on going to churches a while ago. But I never would have known some of those things, if I hadn't have been listening to God's prompts earlier in conversations with people, and when they ask me what I do, I finally have, like, you know, accepted the fact that I tell people I'm a priest. And the amount of conversations that that has opened up, I'm very lucky that works for me. Lucky, but also, like, it moves conversations further a lot faster. Because, and I'm, well, you guys didn't get to hear Adam's version of this sermon, but Adam, he will explain this. He did it in his video. He's like, I am explaining a seminar for tomorrow. He's like, I am not an evangelist. Nah, it's just not me. I'm not that person. And that's not me either. I'm not really. I lean more to being slightly prophetic or apostolic. I'm at that end of the sort of the gifts of the Spirit. But when you tell people that you work in a church or you're a priest, all of a sudden you become the, like, go-to for anything and very obscurely religious pieces of information. You guys get to kind of walk a slightly slower path into conversations about, not all of you, because a bunch of you are used to be in ministry, but a slower, slightly slower path into that relationship, that conversation with people. And so this is my second encouragement, to remember that it's a conversation, not a monologue. And so the first thing I want you to, well, want you to, the first thing that I think is helpful when you're reflecting on what it is to share the gospel with those around you is to know your own why. What is your story? Why do you choose to live a life in step with Jesus? Because we can tell people a whole lot of information about God, but our story is powerful. And if we want to see others see the appeal of what it is to follow Jesus, then we kind of have to have a full understanding of what it is that is appealing to us about it. We all have things in our lives that we are so passionate about that we can't help but tell other people about. For Amanda, it's the Melbourne Football Club. In fact, Amanda, I've been very impressed. There's been very little Melbourne in your kids' talks recently. But what is it about those? We won't talk about my football club. I made eye contact with Michael Shepherd. That was the baddest idea I've had all day. But for some people, it's their sports team. For others, it's their children or their job or a band or Taylor Swift or something else. Woodworking, I don't know. You all have different passions. What are the things that you do in your life? In fact, I'm looking around this room and I'm very impressed with how many of you I could probably name what it was with myself. Anyway. That is your thing that you cannot help telling people about. But this is a challenge to me as much as it is to all of you, because have we thought about the fact that it probably could and should be Jesus? Because he is the best news. And so, friends, I encourage you, wherever you are in your walk with him right now, to take some space over the next week to reflect on why. Why are you here? Why do you choose to follow him? And it's a conversation. So the important other half of knowing your why and your part of the story is to engage the other person and their story. We see the way that Jesus plays this out. Some people who are extraordinarily gifted evangelists have the power to just sit down next to someone on a train, tell them the gospel, and then walk away with that person having met Jesus. That is not most of us, and that is absolutely okay. I just want to tell you that. That's okay. That's the gift that they have been given by God. And if it is a gift that you have been given by God, then I encourage you to use it. And I encourage you to make sure that when they go on their way, you have also tried to work out where they live and if there's a church nearby that they could go and visit and be a part of as they start that journey. But most of the time, the person that we are seeking to share the gospel with is someone that we know. And we may know their story, or God may give us parts of their story if you are somewhat prophetic in that space. But if we know their story and the good news that they need to hear, then we can engage them in that conversation. The woman has come to the well to draw water. Jesus takes that and he tells her the gift that he is of living water that will never run dry. And then the third thing that I want to encourage us with in our approach to sharing the gospel is to trust the Holy Spirit to do the work. Because at the end of the day, we are a vessel that God is using to help share the good news of who he is to someone else. But it is not our job, our responsibility, our work to convert them. That is the job of the Holy Spirit and them. And that is a freeing piece of information because it's not actually about us. Yes, the words that we use, God will use. But if we walk into those conversations in prayer, in step with the Spirit, it's important to remember that if someone doesn't want to take that piece of information and own it for themselves, it's not us that they are rejecting. But it is important that they hear that news from us. And that is why we should be ready to give an account of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. As friends, as we come towards the end, my notes have all gotten mixed up and I've run out of time. I want to encourage you in those three things. As you share the gospel, as you think about what it is to do evangelism, to help people to hear the good news of who Jesus is. Listen to the prompt of God. Know your why and your story. Know the God who made you. And remember that it's a conversation, not just a monologue. And trust the Holy Spirit, who is in you and walks alongside you and is a great blessing, because it is God who does the work in each person's heart. But we get the privilege of telling other people about the one who is light and love and hope. So let us pray.